I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right, great. Well, so the next episode next week is our wrap-up episode, but we're going to wrap up right now.
Bye. Adios.
And my quiz, which we forgot about. But I don't want to end on... Because...
I've never heard
anything. Doesn't matter. It's a crap quiz anyway.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's the leader of the bunch. Called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough.
Darren, he's a dopey dog.
Mix, he's a muddled up, mixed up bunny.
Feral.
That's a ferals for ya.
Ferals.
Don't mess with the ferals. The ferals. They're gonna get you, that's the ferals.
Hello and welcome to the Ferals Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by...
Swinny.
And Tyrannosaurus Mike!
This is Season 2, Episode 15, Fossil Fools, the final Ferals episode.
That will make sense when we cover the episode. Otherwise, Mike, you just sound like you're insane.
What, as opposed to any normal day when I sound like I'm not insane?
Can I say, when I heard Fossil Fools, I thought it was going to be something to do with either global warming... or carbon, or oil, or all these other things. I got it totally wrong.
It was way better than
the actual episode.
Way better than that.
I know, it was, actually. It was way better than that. So, yeah, this is the final episode, like, that we're recording that is actually reviewing an episode.
Oh,
we're gonna have
God.
One episode after this, which is going to be our final wrap-up, and a few, like, special features that we're going to have, and then a best-of Season 2. But, yeah, this is... I must admit, before recording... before watching... the final episode, I was a bit like, oh, geez, this is like gone fast and slow, and yeah, it's been an interesting experience overall, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has, and can I just say, 30 episodes, man, what an accomplishment for us to get through it. So, if we all stay if we all stay silent, just give a pause. Then, Monkey Boy, you can add an applause in post-production. Thank you very much.
I'll do that. Maybe I won't. Yeah, no, actually, that is very true in the context of our schemes and, you know, plans and everything that we do. We're actually going through and finishing something. That's quite a big undertaking if you think about it from the start.
And I think this is credit to you, Monkey Boy. Other than the week where we hit our... monthly limit for audio capacity, we stuck to our weekly schedule, which I'm shocked by.
Even with a wedding?
Weird, huh?
And a honeymoon in between. Which is pretty amazing. A dog, a puppy came into our lives, so yeah, it's pretty full.
You went through... did you go through multiple jobs? No. Trying to remember.
No, well, I closed my business, got a job.
That's right. Yeah.
Got a new puppy, got married.
Got married.
Had a honeymoon.
Had that
it's
accident.
Been a pretty interesting
had
year.
That's the sex change.
That's the whole reason he started the podcast, is because he had nothing to do because he was unemployed.
Exactly. That's why he started it.
And I think you can hear it like episode 3 or 4. He's going through interviews and we're talking about he should use the Lenny trick of smashing the egg on the person's forehead because they'll take him back.
Well, I remember when he initially called us up and he's like, hey guys, I'm kind of sick of sitting at home masturbating. Do you want to start a podcast? And we're like, all right. It's not like we're doing anything better anyway, so. Why not?
Keep it clean, Mike. His puppy's in the same room, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to attack me because I'm the only one at home.
He needs to apply the bag rule for just the puppy.
Jesus. But I must, like, if you think about it, when I was telling you guys, yeah, let's do the whole thing, let's do every single episode, there was no convincing you guys of doing all of it. It was all going to be like, let's just do 15 and see how we go, and I don't think you guys were at all confident that we would do the whole thing.
No.
So I feel especially like it's Mike. A good achievement that we've gone through and everything.
Achievement?
Everything.
Achievement? You said achievement.
Achievement unlocked.
Woohoo!
But sorry, John, it's one of the ones that doesn't give you any gamer scores.
It doesn't matter.
So in the next episode, the final wrap-up episode, we're going to cover the Ferrell's Fantastic Fun Book. I never get that right. And the blooper reels and Ferrell's TV. We're going to touch on that. Not too much, because it's not that fun. And there's going to be some more stuff that we're going to go through as well, which is going to be exciting. But before we start, there's some good news and bad news. The good news is that we are going to do another podcast, and we're going to do it on Around the Twist, which is a very, very classic Aussie kids show.
I thought we were doing it on Round the Twist, which is the actual title of the show.
I'll fix that in post, and then it'll make you sound crazy.
You should get that right before we actually start watching it.
No, I'll just fix that in post, and then it'll sound like you're being pedantic. But the bad news is that Mike is going to leave us. He's loved us and leaves us.
I am.
So
I have decided to have a stint in the Himalayan mountains for a year.
Are you a Sherpa? Or do you own the Sherpa?
Neither. I am going to become a monk.
Well, actually, monk. I think that's a cover.
It's not a monk. A monk.
Monk. I pronounce it like an immigrant.
Can I just say, on that note, I think that's a cover story. I think your working visa's run out.
Shh. I'm doing that finger thing. I'm pretending you're in front of me, and I'm putting my finger on your lips.
So, yeah, I think what we'll do is it'll be a bit of a different format to this one. I think it'll be a lot shorter, a bit more produced, and won't come out as frequently because there's probably going to be more work involved. So, and I think we'll only do the first couple of seasons, which is the clear stuff that we all remember. So,
yeah, and we've got some other ideas brewing about different things with potentially other people. So,
we hope that we can get Mike on at least one.
I can Skype in.
Skype in to a hangout. That's going to be interesting.
I'm sure they have internet there, right? Well, hang on. No. The whole point of going there is to get away from technology, get away from the internet, get away from porn.
I didn't get what you were talking about.
Yeah, where else? That's where I'm going.
Actually, to be honest, that is how I got Mel on the show. I Skyped. Remember the setup? I Skyped him so that I could record the call. I forgot about that.
I can't believe that worked.
That was a good episode. Well. Kind of went downhill from there like an avalanche, which can also happen in the Himalayas, FYI.
Just watch out for those.
See, I've been listening back to them to take notes for our highlights reel episode, and I disagree. I reckon there's some hidden gems there.
I agree. I agree with your disagreement.
Well, how would you know? You haven't listened to them.
No, but when I think back, we had a few good episodes following that. So I retract my statement. Thank God I'm not a politician.
All right, I think we'll get into the show. So
no, you got to build up the hype first, okay?
I do.
Okay.
I do. It's exciting.
So can you please play the only track that's worthy of finishing off our 30th episode?
Okay.
Feel the hype.
I love this song.
It's the Ferrell's Countdown. The Ferrell's Countdown.
It's a whole 5-minute song, I hope you know.
play it separately because it's really hot in this room.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I have to say, I actually thought it was the original version.
Yes, same. Yeah. And then I heard like, his sexy voice. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Is it really hot where you guys are? Because it is freaking boiling here, man.
Well, it was. It was 40.
Literally dripping off me.
It's cooled down where I am, but I just took a cold shower before I started the podcast. So not only am I cool, but my bone is gone.
You are cool. Your bone is gone.
Speaking of bones, we'll be talking about that in this episode. Nice segue. Nice unplanned segue there. So Radis and Mixie wake
like
up Moddy.
What? Kid, it's an unplanned segue.
No, unplanned. It was unplanned.
Oh, I get it now. Jeez, we're off the track. So Moddy and Mixie... Radis and Mixie wake up Moddy and they've strapped her in some roller skates and, you know, wake her up and push her out the shed. And she, like, skates out of the shed. One overarching comment. The puns and jokes in this episode were really on point. Did you guys feel that?
Yes. The Joe one.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, where have these puns been for the entire run of the show?
Well, they've made good puns in the past. But yeah, there seems to be a more higher concentration of puns in this one.
I feel like there were four really good puns in this episode.
Yes.
So this is one of the first ones where I think it was Radis said, "What do you call a cat on roller skates?" Meow. I'm like, that's good. I had this like reaction where I'm like, I'll pay that.
It was good, and I'll just say the next part is probably one of the best moments in the entire series for me.
Okay. So, I've got to make sure
the one with the 2001 Space Odyssey music?
Well, we'll get into it. We'll explain what happens. You boy.
So, yes. So, Moddy falls down a ditch, and it turns out that Darren has been digging this giant ditch at the front of the shed, and that he's discovered a bone there. And that it's this bone, and how would you describe it? It's just like coming out of this huge ditch. And do you think it's an inflatable, like how they actually made it?
No, it looks like it was made from, like foamy rubbery, like that foam stuff. You can build props
foam
and stuff out of.
I think it would have to be foam. It looked to have too much texture for like an inflatable. And they can fix this probably in post.
Inflatables.
I know they can fix this in post, but I reckon inflatable stuff generally would probably reflect light a lot as well. So.
Oh yeah, true. So yeah, this big bone comes out, and straight away I'm like, okay, this has got to be a dinosaur bone or something.
You're underplaying. It rises,
yeah,
to the sound epic of let me try to pronounce this incorrectly. Dun, 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 also, Sprach Zarathustra, I believe it is, which is, as Mike alluded to, 2001 Space Odyssey music.
Bonus points.
It was
if
brilliant.
You guys know where the title of the song comes from.
France.
It comes from a novel, but I can't... Is it a... a Nietzsche novel?
Yes.
Nietzsche,
yes.
Oh, the guy who believes God is dead.
Nietzsche.
Yes. Name of one of his novels.
Now, the actual... It's not... It's called a tone poem, which I'd never heard of. But, you know, my favourite bit of trivia about this track... By the way, it was kind of like a version of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Guess who walks out to this music?
Oh, God, it'd be some wrestler like... what's his name? Bret Hart or...
Only Hart, Mavis herself, Ric Flair. It's his entrance music.
That's a nice tie-in. I like that.
Everything flips back around. The only difference is he starts with a woo, and then goes into the song.
Dun, 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 dun. That's awesome.
So I just love that comes full circle. It's brilliant.
There's a lot of full circle in this episode. So Like what I was saying, when I thought, oh yeah, this is a dinosaur bone, it flicks to Lenny and Robbie's apartment, and Lenny just straight away says, yep, it's a dinosaur bone. I just love the frame. It's like, let's just get on with this episode. We want to say it's a dinosaur bone and get into it. And then they allude straight away. This is another movie sort of not... This is a direct reference. They start talking about Jurassic Park.
But what did they call it?
Again...
No, what? Not yet. This is just they just mentioned Jurassic Park.
You're jumping the gun.
Premature population.
You just want to get to it. It's next scene.
Because it's so good.
Which, you know, very relevant at the moment as well, because you've got Jurassic World. So there's a lot of, you know, kind of past mixing in with the present right now.
Indeed.
We see our hero of the show, Joe, coming into the apartment, and he's been down the sewer, which to me, I'm like, why is he down the sewer? Why would he ever go down the sewer? And I guess they can't, like, make him all brown. They've made him all green, like, you know, neon green. Like, well, he's covered in slime and stuff.
I love that he walks in and it has a waft of green effect over the screen. It was really
good special
cool.
effects for 1995.
That's true. So they've realized they've got a dinosaur bone and it's near the shed, so it's Joe's property. So the Ferals actually want to partner up with Joe, and they have the suggestion that they can get a bunch of people in, and they can open up a dinosaur park. Now, I'll let Mike give the name. So, like, they're trying to come up with names for what the park would be. What was the park called?
It was called, wait for it, Jurassic Park. That was my favorite pun of the entire 30 episodes.
I agree. It was perfect. At this stage in the episode, I was like, the meow joke. I'm like, yeah, it's on point. The dinosaur bone coming up. It's like a pretty well executed shot. And then Jurassic Park. I'm like, oh man, this episode's on point right now.
I also love in this, just before they name it, how they show Darren doing the growl. So basically, Darren's able to growl like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I reckon it sounds fantastic, and it obviously plays into the episode soon as well. So.
That's true. So, you know, they have my red stereo back. You can see that at the start, which has got the sort of, you know, jungle safari music. Joe's dressed up in the safari outfit, is the sort of the leader of the park, the person who runs the park. The entry is quite low. It's like $10 to get into this park, but I think this is just a clever pricing ploy, as we see later, if you want to buy any food, how much it costs.
Sounds like it's going to the footy or something. Yeah, same principle.
And did you guys think it was a bit dodgy, you know, with the Japanese tourists that were going into the park? How, like, Joe was talking to them? I thought it was a bit borderline.
I think it was okay,
and I think mid-90s, it's definitely okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the lighter side of what, you know, could have possibly... I was very worried about this episode when
These days, you'd get social justice warriors complaining about it, but it was
you'd have a Tumblr attack. So, yeah, they fill up this park, because obviously they can't just have this one bone. They've got, you know, fake exhibits, Radis supposedly, you know, trying to tame this, what do they call it? A saber-toothed cat or something?
So, Radis was a captive cave rat, and it was him trying to... Well, it was him basically versus the saber-toothed tiger, which was
captive
one.
Cave rat.
Yeah. And even Lenny is on the scam, so he must be getting paid out by Joe.
Lenny just goes along for anything, you know that.
I know,
he doesn't
really
need
does,
incentive.
Doesn't
he just does it because he's got he's got no friends.
And yeah, so he's got the microphone getting Darren to do the Tyrannosaurus Rex call, and they've got the big bone there, and they've also got, which I think was actually my favourite, the head... Robbie, who was like the running the stand where you could throw dinosaur dung at Mixie, and she was dressed up as a... What was it?
Triceratops?
Mm.
Dino,
that was so weird.
Dino dung tossing. Now,
yeah.
Obviously, everybody going to this park knows that obviously that's not real dino dung because the dinosaurs are extinct. But what was it meant to be? Was it meant to just be just like fake clumps of dirt or something? It looked pretty gross.
Well, they've got the sewage.
Yeah, well, they've got easy access to it.
So, you know. That's what I thought. And trust me, man, I've traveled overseas a lot. You know, people believe, like, a lot of shit. Like, most tour guides, whenever they talk, they always make one joke, which is telling BS. And the amount of people that believe it, oh my god.
Yes.
It's scary, man. It's scary. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, 5% of people actually believe that it was real Dino Dung. And then, so probably my favorite part of this whole scene was when they had the caveman kiosk, which was run by Keith and Fake Kylie. The only downside is this is the last time that we see Keith and Fake Kylie.
It is. Well, yeah. Rip Keith. In the actual episodes. I believe Keith in might the, show in up episode. In Ferrell's TV, but it's the last time we'll be covering. I think maybe. I don't know. I don't think he does, man.
I don't think
he's not really. A Ferrell, so.
This is the end.
Might be. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure this is the last screen appearance of...
Goodbye, Keith. My friend.
When I was saying that, I was thinking, Keith doesn't have any other name, does he? It's just Keith.
Yeah.
It's Keith the Koala. Bloody awesome bloke.
Don't even think it's that, but yeah. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he's not in Feral TV.
We'll find out.
So, maybe. You guys caught what they were selling, yeah?
Yeah, so, well, I caught a few. There was a Stego Sanger, which was my favourite.
No, Stego Sambo.
Sambo. Oh,
and that made me go, Mike's slang quiz.
Yeah, that reminded me of that.
Yeah, I know, that's what I thought as well.
See, now you know what, now you know what it means.
Exactly. But
there was something like something pies, and started with P, and I couldn't catch it. It was really hard to understand.
And oh, like, maybe, what's the
pterodactyl pies?
The dinosaurs? Pterodactyl?
I don't know, I didn't...
It wasn't... Well, pterodactyl doesn't sound like it starts with P, so I don't think it was that.
What's the period that the dinosaurs were alive? Was it the Jurassic period?
Probably. But I also loved they had double it's the mastodon Jurassic nuggets. Period.
I'm going to start, like, putting that in when I say Jurassic. I'm going to say Jurassic. See if anyone ever pulls me up on it. But yeah, the bit that I liked was that they bought a bunch of stuff, and they're like, that's 400 smackaroonies. Pay up! It was awesome. So it was a good end. It was a good end. He went out on a high, I think, Keith.
He did.
Probably my favorite, second favorite character.
Second
in the
favorite?
Entire show. Yeah.
Wasn't he a favorite? I thought we unanimously agreed he was our favourite.
I think I've changed. Joe's my favourite in this show.
Keith's still my homeboy.
There you go.
Hey,
how about you, Swinny?
Yeah.
Well,
how does he rank?
Let's maybe talk about this when we cover our awards.
In our wrap-up. Yeah,
next episode.
Let's not do a wrap-up episode.
Fair enough.
As we're actually going straight.
Can I just quickly interject?
Yeah, go on.
Am I the only one that throughout the entire episode was... In the back of my mind, Bone Robbie, Bone Robbie, Bone Robbie, Bone Robbie.
Huh? What do you mean, Bone Robbie?
What do you mean, why do I mean, Bone Robbie? We've been talking about boning Robbie for the last 29 episodes.
No, I wasn't thinking that. Why are we thinking that?
What did you how did you reach that link?
Because there was a giant bone, and then Robbie came into the scene.
Can I just say that Mike
seemed pretty obvious.
Quit video games, and this is the result. You're going mad. You were going mad. You've prepared things for this episode. You're like talking about boning Robbie. You're asking before interjecting. Who are you? Who are you?
What have you done to Mike?
I will actually say that he always talks about boning Robbie.
Yes.
And he always says, if I can interject.
That's true.
He uses that word a lot.
Yeah, well, he has done that.
We do not use that word. He uses that word. I don't think I'd know anybody else that uses the word interject when they're actually asking to cut into a conversation.
How else do you say, that you want to politely cut into a conversation?
Well, people just say, can I say something?
I'm not saying that it's wrong. I just don't know anybody else that says it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say it. I've used that word before, but not in the context of saying, can I interject?
Okay, so not in the context of actually interjecting.
Yeah, no, this is the funny thing about it. Yeah. So the final closeout of this opening of the park and our witnessing of all the attractions is that this is a suggestion box that, you know, people can put their suggestions, and then we see that every single visitor
wanted to bone Robbie.
Puts a suggestion. Yeah, well, it is about bones. They want more bones.
More bones.
Bones, bones, yet, bones, bones, bones.
And another pun here that Lenny, there's nice diversity on all the puns delivery. I liked it. Lenny said, they've got a bone to pick with you. Throughout this episode, you know those, you know, reaction gifs where it's like, you know, yeah, I'll pay that. I'll pay that. I'm kind of impressed.
You're talking about like the Obama, not bad.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm doing? I'm like actioning it here. It's like you guys can't see me. What am I doing?
At least Henry gets the pleasure of seeing you act out memes for a podcast.
It's true. Few head tilts from him, and then they made this line in this part where they, because they all worried, oh, okay, the visitors aren't going to come and they're going to lose their money or not going to be rich. They said this is the only time they could have been rich. I'm like, I can think of five times in this series run where they thought they were going to be super rich. Like when Motti was like a singing star, where they had Joe's, you know, Joe had $1 million. Like they were literally acting like they were rich in this episode.
Probably half the episodes probably have some kind of scheme that seemed to be working at the
time. It's all about making money, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to be conservative and say like maybe a quarter of the time, but yeah, it's crazy. Anyway.
It's interesting because obviously what writers create is a reflection of their thoughts. And if all they ever seem to think about and write about is trying to make money, I can only imagine that writers were probably not paid that well back then or now.
Yes, I don't think people at the ABC are paid particularly that well.
Damn right, they should have.
So, now they have to dig for more bones now. So we have Darren and Mixie digging for bones and Motti supervising, and Lenny is sort of doing the topological surveying of the area. And did you guys pick up on one sort of, you know, geographic fact in this episode that was revealed at this point?
No.
Was it when Lenny was saying all his pseudo-scientific crap?
No. We learned something about the address of Robbie and Lenny's apartment.
We learned the street address. It was like 18 or something, wasn't
it? Number 18.
Mm. Yeah.
Number 18.
Okay. See, I didn't have that as a note. I can't believe I remembered that it was 18. I watched this yesterday as well. What the hell?
It's good work. And they realise that there's some bones underneath Lenny and Robbie's flat. And, you know, throughout this whole episode, it actually made me think about this article I read recently that, because in the States, you're allowed to excavate bones and sell them for a profit. Like, it doesn't have to go to a museum or anything.
Really?
So there's this, yes, yeah, they changed. Oh, well,
but they're priceless.
It was a court case. It was a court case that went to the Supreme Court, and it was about Sue's bone, not my mum, Sue's bones, which is the name of a dinosaur.
Mike,
it's taking a terrible turn.
I'm so turned on right now.
This is your moment.
What? So there's a Tyrannosaurus Rex, the most complete Tyrannosaurus Rex, which is in a museum in Chicago, which I've luckily had an opportunity to visit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see it. It's like amazing to actually see it fully constructed, and it's like, wow, that's how big it would have been. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah,
and
but
that
they're
was
not very big because King Kong could take out two of them at once.
Yeah, exactly. It was just big.
So, you know, now it's legal to actually, you know, sort of dig out these bones. And it's just, it's created, like, I think 10 times more discoveries. So the rate of discoveries of dinosaur bones is 10 times higher now.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think it's probably an untapped market in Australia, to be honest.
Oh, it totally is. We're rich in that stuff. But, you know, when just the average Joe goes and does it, isn't there a fear that they would destroy prices?
Yeah,
priceless
nice
evidence
pun,
that.
That's fun. Go on.
They would destroy, you know, priceless evidence that you know you'll never be able to get back
of a crime. What do you mean evidence?
Well, no, just you know, like if I had to go and dig for bones right now, I could totally do it, but
artifact,
I would suck
at
it. I'll just end up, you know, destroying everything there, and that would just suck.
Yeah,
I'll leave that. Leave that stuff to the pros.
We had a good discussion about certain laws in America last episode that got a little serious. I don't think this is high on their priority list. Clearly, guns are. go nuts digging bones. We're focusing on guns.
You're allowed to buy an AR-15 in America. I don't think they really care about anything. It's like a free-for-all over there, let's be real. Money rules. All right, so... Yeah, now we've got the smell back again. So something's going on with the sewer and...
Did you guys hear the sound that came with the noise?
Was it fart noise?
No, it was like a big horn, almost like the Inception horn, like on a lower scale. And okay. That reminded me of, have you guys, if I've told you guys about it, you might need to be reminded, the Inception Button website.
No.
So I've
sent it through the chat, I'm pretty sure.
So I've actually just linked it now. What I thought would be good whenever Mike says something inappropriate in this episode, Monkey Boy, are you able to play that Inception horn?
Penis!
Well, we've got to test that it can play. There we go.
So you're not going to play it on top. Every time I say penis... You have to play. Nice. This is going to be fun.
Thank you.
Oh, God. This is my job for the rest of the bloody episode.
Penis.
Oh, shit. I missed it. Couldn't press the button.
I got to keep on your toes.
For the listeners who don't have the ability to look at this thing.
And they've turned off right now.
Yeah. It's just a giant red button. On a white page. What does it say on it? Does it say push me or something? Or?
No, for me it just says no flash, ? Go to HTML5.
That's really weird. You know what it says for me? It says
it's a big red button.
Penis.
I can't believe I didn't follow that setup. That's dumb of me.
I know. I gotta keep your toes. You can't have your toes being flaccid.
I had it hovering over, and I was like, I was actually waiting to hear what you were gonna say. I was expecting it to say something different. Oh god, yeah. What I wanted to say was that Radis loves the smell, so that harkens back to another episode where he was huffing. Is that how you say
huffing.
It?
Huffing. Huffing, sure, like David Hasselhoffing.
Exactly. In the bathroom, in the floor. Anyway.
Speaking of David Hasselhoff, huffing, apparently he had a pretty...
Just wait a second.
Pretty good penis.
I got ahead of you on that one.
He pressed it because he knew he was going to say something.
What I wanted to say was that it reminds me when he was huffing the fart, you know...
The fart machine.
What was that again? Pipe. Fart machine.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course.
Digital fart machine.
Yeah.
Which sounds really bad. Okay, so now we have... Moddy, Mixie and Darren, and they've been stuck in the sewer because they were trying to find bones. They took a wrong turn. And, okay, so I want to, like, throw forward at this point. Mm-hmm. They're actually trying to set up something. What they're trying to set up is, like, what happens at the end of the episode and effectively trying to set up Feral TV talking about the sewer and showing it.
Without knowing what happened at the end of the episode.
Look at Michael.
I didn't say anything inappropriate.
Mike, sorry.
No, I'm saying it's like Inception. It's like, you're like, oh, is that what the whole thing was about?
Mike doesn't know that Feral's TV is set in a sewer. Now, I did remember that because I remember Feral's TV more than the actual Feral show after watching all 30 episodes.
Okay.
I can definitely tell you that. But I'm thinking to myself, are they setting this up here? And I'm so happy that it did end up being that. So
I reckon that was awesome.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I loved it.
It's probably the best part of Feral TV.
The fact that this episode linked to
something that wasn't even in Feral's TV, yeah.
Exactly. You know what? I always want to say Feral's with an S, TV, but I know it's Feral TV.
Oh, okay.
And I don't something understand I don't why know. It's not Feral's TV. I guess because then... Maybe they just don't have it like that because they're not sure about the apostrophe.
Yeah, because the TV itself is Feral.
Yeah, is it there? Is it possessive? Or is it... Anyway. So, yes, they're stuck in the sewer. They get popped out because I think Radis unsticks them or, you know, pops them out somehow. They're all covered in goo. And I think Darren... Do you remember Darren's comment in this scene?
Well, somebody said, you look like a dog's breakfast. And Darren said, actually, part of it was a dog's breakfast.
Yes, that's right.
Which was... Really, really good.
But that was so gross. But it was awesome.
And then Mixie.
Yeah, yes.
What the hell? Go on. Oh, yeah.
I know, I was like, this is crazy.
Now, I can't remember what set her off, but Mixie just grabs the thing that Raddus was, I guess, a fake attacking Moddy in the park when they're pretending to be the canine, oh, sorry, the captive freaking cave rat or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just starts smacking Moddy, like, repeatedly on the head.
Yeah.
Now, Raddus, Moddy, we've seen them do that all the time, but Mixie just goes nuts.
She went crazy. Yeah. And she didn't stop
and
there.
And she's like, stupid. Oh, idiot. That's the one. It was idiot.
And then who did she go for next?
And then it was really weird. But do you remember what Darren was doing? He was, like, talking all the way out to the camera. I feel like they just, like, tried to shoot every gun that they had in their arsenal in this episode. Yes. Which was awesome.
He basically
said... It was
said,
really good.
She's angry now, but one day we'll all look back on this and laugh, and then Mixie just smacks him on the head. So...
It's unbelievable. And then it flows into... So they've been stuck down the sewer and all the rubbish and everything. And it flows onto the next scene, which... Like, I laughed a lot. I must admit, this is most I've laughed since the Mary Poppins episode. Mm-hmm. In an episode all the way throughout. Did what the ferals look like in the next scene? Did it remind you of anything that we've, had in this show or watched in this show?
Or had personally?
So what I'm referring
to... Not on my face, anyway.
What I'm referring to is...
Probably if you have it on your face, ferals... you can't get it somewhere else, like on your penis. Thank you.
I don't know why I was so slow on that. It's going to... The whole episode is going to be beep, and then followed by dong. No, it's that all the ferals, apart from Raddus, of course, covered in scabs. And it reminded me of Meet the Feebles.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Now, I was
wasn't as gross.
I was reminded of Meet the Feebles, but for a different reason in the next scene. So I'll get to that when we get there.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, okay. That's going to be interesting for me because I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, so basically they've all been affected by the rubbish and now they're covered in these red splotches and scabs all over their body. And it's absolutely disgusting. But Raddus isn't affected.
Is this the second time Raddus used the "I love the smell of sewage in the morning" line? Because we talked about it before and how it's a reference to Apocalypse Now.
Well,
is this? It was used before.
I thought it was
right?
I thought it was a reference to Food Fight.
Food Fight.
Yeah, I don't. I think it was used in another.
It was used in another episode. Yeah, because we talked about it. I remember.
But I don't think it was the smell of sewage in the morning.
Maybe it was
the smell of sewage in the morning?
I was the smell of something in the morning for sure. Like anyway,
yeah, I think it was
we
the smell
about
of something,
it, yeah.
But I don't know if it was sewage. Yeah, it's definitely been used before, and it's yet another sort of movie reference in this episode. Mm-hmm. Yep. So what we have now is that Lenny and Robbie are treating Mixie, Darren, and Moddy. This actually, I don't know. It's hard to. This is a very good episode, and it's hard to actually think what the best scenes were. But I love the dialogue of Moddy in this scene.
Oh,
do you guys remember it? Where.
Brilliant.
Do you remember what she was saying, Swinny?
I didn't. I started typing down what she actually said, but then I just pretty much just typed, Moddy suggesting to sacrifice Darren and Mixie to find a cure. It's like
so
they're,
awesome.
They're expendable or they're disposable
yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
Like, take
I don't
them.
Care about them. Use them. Take them. Cure me. It was awesome. Like, this is... I think this is probably the most well-written episode. Like, the lines felt like they had a lot of work, and it was really funny. It was very, very funny.
Yeah.
And it's also, I remember, like, you know, she got the jab, and, like, Raddus was finding the whole thing hilarious that they were getting jabs and that they were suffering. And just the sort of indignation, like, we've been with these characters for now, like, 30 episodes, and he describes Mixie as just, do the rabbit next.
Well, that's what I was saying. That reminded me of a potential script line from Meet the Feebles. You could almost imagine the rat director that being a line from him in that movie. Do the rabbit next when he's directing that certain film.
Yeah, that's true.
It just sounded like a really like you could just place it in that movie and it would just be like a completely different context.
That's true, actually. Yeah, good call. Good call. And then we had Raddus. He said this line, I've never had a grunge problem. I was kind of like, are they referring to Like, are they trying to do a bit of a, you know, double, not a double entendre, but are they referring to grunge music at the same time as just having a grunge problem, or was that just, like, me reading too much into it?
I didn't catch that line.
I don't know,
grunge.
Neither.
Are you sure they said grunge? Yeah. I thought it said something else.
Yeah, it definitely said grunge.
Hmm.
Anyway. So now, yeah, Joe comes in and he doesn't care that they're covered in scabs or anything like that. He just wants to know where's his bones and why they haven't given him more bones.
Did you guys notice that Darren got his syringe in his ass?
Yes.
It sounds worse than it actually was. Like, it was done kind of off the side of the screen, and the expression on Darren's face was brilliant.
Well, all their expressions, the puppeteering was really good. It's like, as soon as they got the jab, their eyes, like, really opened up, and they kind of stooped forward a bit. Yeah, it was pretty good, actually.
I remember when I go...
I think Joe...
Yeah, go.
Yeah, go on.
No, you go.
Okay.
Okay.
It didn't work because you're not saying interject.
Okay. I'll go. This whole scene reminded me when I was about 5, I think, and I got bitten by a dog that supposedly had rabies, and I had to get taken to the hospital. And
holy shit!
Yeah, they gave me.
Was this in Transylvania?
Yeah, it was, and they gave me. It was on a mountain as well. So they rushed me to hospital.
You've actually told me this story. You've told me this story before. But yeah,
it was crazy, and I remember they had to hold me down because I was screaming and kicking, and they had to give me these injections in my stomach. And that's it. That's the end of the story. And I'm fine. I didn't develop rabies.
Holy crap.
And then you're like, every full moon. It's actually really bad getting, like, rabies. Like, whatever, yeah. I laugh about it.
I don't think the dog ended up having it. I don't even know what happened to the dog. But I remember it bit me in the ass. Because I was petting a horse. That's it. I was petting a horse. And
what?
For whatever reason, maybe the dog was just like the friend of the horse on this mountain.
So, okay, can I just say, if you said to somebody who, you know, who didn't know your history, said, oh, when I was a kid in Transylvania, I was petting a horse and a dog bit me and I had to get injected for rabies, nobody would ever believe you with that story.
But what? It could happen. Like, to anyone, anywhere, not just there.
I just love the bit where maybe it was the horse's friend.
Well, it could have been the horse's friend, because it never made any sense to this day. Why would he attack me for no reason? Like,
well, if it's got rabies animals, they have no impulse control. They just
we don't know if
you,
it had rabies
so.
Or not.
They well, thank just God thought, you didn't. It looked a thank bit God weird, you didn't. So they turn into the crazy dog man, going yeah, come thousand over.
To this day, when I watch that clip, so this is referring to the crazy dog man from ACA, A Current Affair, this Australian show. You can just search for it, crazy dog man. It'll be the number one clip, I reckon, on YouTube. I crack up laughing every time I see that. How many times did I watch that, Swinny, in a row? It was ridiculous.
You can't stop laughing at that. I can't stop laughing at that clip from Catchphrase where it has the banana. And they keep uncovering the pictures, and it looks like it's doing something really dirty. And then that's like taking the top hat off, and oh, there's just some internet clips you just never ever get old.
There's one thing I would say about sort of the more variety shows, especially Australian variety shows. They had these moments where you just can't beat them, like where you know that they're trying to go for something in the show, and it just goes pear shaped, and it's hilarious because of that. Happened a lot on Hey, It's Saturday. Anyway, we're going way off track here. So now they're trying to actually sell the fact that Moddy Mixie have a disease, and they put them actually in an exhibit in Jurassic Park, and they call it, I think, Stone Age Scurvy, from memory.
Well, the sign said dinosaur disease, but they might have referenced it as the scurvy
Yeah, I think it was referenced to Stone Age Scurvy. And I did like how Radis was ripping into Moddy, saying something like, you fat, bloated Felinosaurus.
Felinosaurus was awesome.
The line where he goes, pick a few scabs and let's see some pus. I actually felt quite sick when I heard that. Disgusting.
That was definitely Meet the Feebles.
And then the final bit of this scene that I wanted to talk about was how much the world changes. So Joe comes in like he's king shit, and then Moddy tries to, you know, knock him down a peg by saying, "You're not exactly Mel Gibson." I'm just like, it has gone completely 180 degrees on that. Like, now if you're saying someone's acting like Mel Gibson, that is not a positive thing to say. Anyway, I just thought, you know, it's interesting how much changes in 20 years.
Radis's time. other one-liner in this scene was brilliant.
Was what that the Rakoff one? No. Someone else said that.
No, he calls Moddy Puss in Boots.
Oh. No, that's the next scene. That's the next scene.
No, oh, that's
I had that written down.
Oh, I thought that's in the apartment with Joe.
Oh, is it? Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe you're right, actually, because okay. I think I'd stop breaking it down by seeing my note-taking. I should just do it scene by scene.
Goes downhill, yeah. I'm
trying to get too clever.
Where's but the part where he goes off Rakoff Junkie Boy?
Chunky boy.
That's a chunky.
We haven't even got to the demolition guy.
It's like my no, next line in my
push,
notes.
Kill, destroy.
No, it's not. It's the next scene, Monkey Boy. But okay, I think these scenes go for a while, so...
No, no, I know, but I'm just saying it's like later. Like, this is not even... That character who you're referring to, Mike, hasn't even been introduced up to this point yet.
Okay.
Right? Do you think they're calling Chunky Boy? It's not Joe.
I know who it is, but I don't remember exactly when he gets introduced.
We told you, Mike just wants to get to his next note.
I watched this a few days ago. All I had was notes.
And he wanted to say Rakoff Chunky Boy.
Pick a few scabs, and then the next line was Rakoff Chunky Boy! Exclamation mark.
Yeah,
there was nothing in between.
So for the rest of the show, basically, it's about, you know, let's wreck the shed.
It just goes nuts.
Oh, no. So because there's bones, there's dinosaur bones underneath the shed and Robbie and Lenny's apartment and Joe's house. So there's bones under all of them and Joe needs more bones. He wants to knock down the shed to get more bones. And he feels pretty comfortable. What I liked in is that Joe's kind of just evil in this episode, which it's like a return to form for Joe for me. Like, he's not caring at all.
This, right? Like, this episode is the payoff of episode one. It feels like it's the exact culmination of those characters at that point.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
It's almost like they had episode 30 written at the same time as episode one. And that's to fill the rest of it.
Because, remember, there is a partnership between the Ferrells and Joe. And he's just basically like, if you don't fulfill your end of the bargain, then piss off. I don't care. Which is awesome. So, surely... Do you want to mention Mike? So, Joe wants to come in and he's bringing a wrecker to knock down the shed. Do you remember what the wrecker is called?
No. Oh, the wrecker, the Kill, Crush, Destroy.
No, yes, Crush, yeah. Crush, Kill, Destroy. Get it in the right order.
Yes. I only mentioned it like 50 times in the last...
Yeah, but...
It's Crush, but... Kill, Destroy.
Oh, okay. Crush,
Not Kill, Crush, Destroy. It's very different.
My favorite...
When you reorder things, it changes the whole meaning.
My favorite thing is just when... So we have this bit where like they try to close the park down because of the dinosaur disease, and that's where the Rakoff Chunky Boy bit comes in. But I just want to get into them crushing and destroying the shed, which just made me laugh. And how Joe, when he instructs this wrecker, every single time he wants something to knock down something, he gives the command, crush, kill, destroy. I don't know, just made me laugh every single time.
It was awesome. And can I just say, the Ferrells, when they start to get pissed off and they're like, it's time to get nasty, and they do the whole gonna get ya. Have you guys noticed that this whole gonna getcha was only really in the script for season two a lot?
Yes.
It's everywhere.
Yes.
So that...
It was like every other episode in season two.
Do you think that they were told by the producers or the higher-ups to say that we need something to put on T-shirts? We need something to put on merch? Although...
Zero chance. Because it's the ABC.
It doesn't really fit the way that they usually do it in the show. It feels added in. It feels commercialized. Like they needed something to be able to make some stuff to put in the ABC shop. That's what I'm getting at.
They didn't even have ABC shops back then.
all of wherever you bought ABC merch. There was ABC merch for kid shows back then.
Yeah, but nah, Zero, dude, like, it's like what Mel was saying. They're not commercial. He even said that they were, like, the highest rating in their time slot by a fair margin, and they didn't even care. They were just like, you know, we don't think, like, the show works, or, you know, the higher-ups just said, you're going to have a five-minute show next year.
But the thing is, the ABC, especially, you know, when you've got things like your Triple J's and stuff, all that that operates quite independent, is that they push merch a lot.
Yeah, but it's not the same ABC as it was 20 years ago, dude. Like,
no, but even in the 90s, they used to push merch heaps, even for kids' shows and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't really think it was a big driver for them. I don't think like what you're describing, like the Star Wars type of thing. Let's create a droid that people love.
I'm not saying heaps of merch. I'm just saying something to link that they can put on a t-shirt to try to do something. It just feels like it's added in to try to give the show a bit of a. Thank you.
Computer's running slow.
You two have to stop arguing.
No, just
let's agree to disagree. Just I don't think so, based on, you know, what I understand of the ABC, right? And especially it was less commercial 20 years ago than it is now. Even now, I don't think they'd do that, what you're describing, right? And what Mel was saying. And it kind of, I get what you're saying, it felt a bit forced, but I certainly don't think it was that forced. I think if it was that forced, it would have been in every episode.
It was in 60% of them, I reckon. It was in heaps of them.
I don't disagree. It was in a lot. But I'm saying it would have been every single one in season two for sure. But anyway, let's agree to disagree. Maybe we can ask Mel.
May I also interject again?
Yes.
There was a game. Don't prepare that button. This isn't going to involve any P words.
I was hovering. I was like,
sorry, fine. It's okay. I just say, you asked to interject when there was no one talking.
It's a legitimate
interjection. So essentially, interjected into silence.
I thought it was going to go straight to his next point. There was a video game made in 1997, so this is post the Ferals, called Crush, Kill, and Destroy, which was actually made by Melbourne House, which was a branch of... Is still? I don't know. It was a branch of Electronic Arts. And that's why when this whole thing was playing, that's all I could think about. Crush, Kill, and Destroy. Crush, Kill, and Destroy. I remember that game. That used to be a good game.
But it is Crush, Kill, and Destroy. You said...
Yeah, for some reason I remembered it the other way around. I don't know why. Yeah.
What a strange
story. I do remember that game, actually. I do remember it. Never played it.
It's kind of really cool...
I just love how you've worked in two strange stories in this one episode. It's good. So... all right, let's try to return to the episode. Yep. So, at this point, Joe, instead of... I think I've got my notes right, hopefully. Joe starts by destroying Robbie and Lenny's apartment. Am I correct about this?
Yes. So, basically, while everyone was distracted, Joe... They think they're about to destroy the shed, and Joe just destroys the... Mm. They're flat. Lenny and Robbie's flat. Now,
I'm going to get a drink. I'll be right back.
Oh, trust me. No. To set it up, it's so hot in Melbourne, man.
Oh, okay.
He would have killed over.
I loved this scene. I loved it because I got super excited. I was like, oh, so we found out after 30 episodes, Joe did own the flat after all, right? And then the very next line, he goes, he talked to the landlord and sold it to Joe. I was like, this is unreal.
It was perfect. It wrapped everything up nicely on that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Who
was
owned
awesome.
What?
Yeah, so we figured out that Joe didn't own their apartment, and then he did. And then he destroyed it. He crushed, killed, and destroyed it. And the only reason why I destroyed it is because there's some bones underneath it. He didn't even give them a real chance to get out. I just love it.
Did he even know that they weren't in the apartment when he gave the order?
I think he said, I warned you. And they go, we didn't even have a chance to get out. We were still eating our lunch. It was awesome. I really loved it. And now what we have is the Ferals have got a new plan that they'll dynamite and blow up Joe's place if he destroys the shed. Now, I don't know what they're going to do in the long term. Are they just going to, like, sit there forever waiting for Joe to, you know, agree not to destroy it? You know what I mean? Like, it's not really something that's permanent. Because he could then just 5 minutes later go, okay, yeah, now crush and destroy it. But anyway,
You're analysing this way too deep.
Anyway. Again, Darren is in charge of blowing up the plan. Why are they getting Darren to be the lead on all of these plans? Have they not learnt anything?
It's because it's an awesome running joke, that's why.
I know. It is. It, like, if we were to ever write one episode, like as an extended universe episode, it would have to have a digital device. It would have to have a gonna getcha, but it has to be, like, very, very forced gonna getcha, to your point, and then maybe a little merch thing at that moment. And it has to have Darren, who's in charge of the plan. Like, they're at least three of the elements that I want. Gummies? Anyway, I'm going to have a big list.
Otherwise. Sounds like it's a lot more than three. Robbie? No, well, semi-naked?
Yeah, playing guitar? No,
while playing the guitar.
Inappropriate. Thank you.
Yes, Robbie in a bikini playing guitar. That's true, Mike. Good point. Riding a shark. Anyway. So, there's a bit of a Mexican standoff. And then, you know, basically Joe says you're bluffing. And Darren confirms that they are. So, Joe launches the crush, kill, destroy. And Darren, you know, tries to save the place by standing in front of the 2-ton wrecking ball, and the shed gets destroyed. So we're in a post-shed world.
Darren tries does his best Tiananmen Square impersonation.
Yeah, his best Miley Cyrus in the next scene as well.
Exactly! That was my second impersonation note.
But it turns out it gets destroyed because of him.
No, I don't even know. I thought that was so stupid. They go, your head knocked it over or something. I'm like, yeah, really? Okay, it wasn't the 2-ton wrecking ball coming at it. I'm like, what the hell? You know, by the way, do they even use wrecking balls anymore? I've never seen a wrecking ball in my life.
I think they use explosives these days, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they use, like, controlled dynamite explosives to bring down buildings.
It's probably safer than a wrecking ball.
Never seen a wrecking ball. Anyway, there you go.
Come here like a wrecking ball. No, I've got visions of that bearded dude.
Keep going. Oh, like the satirical sort of versions. Yeah. So now we're in a post-shed world, and Joe commands the ferals.
Did you feel slightly sad? Like, did it sink in that is it? The shed just got destroyed.
The shed, the flat had just been destroyed, although we hadn't seen it.
Yeah, but for some reason the flat keeps getting destroyed and
But the flat was destroyed, the shed was destroyed, and we knew obviously what's going to happen coming up, but we're like, this is, to me, just, this is how you finish it off.
I felt sad.
This is how you finish it off. It's awesome.
It is, but I felt so sad when they destroyed the shed, because for 29 episodes, in somewhere or another, throughout the episodes, Joe's been trying to kick them out of the shed, to do something with the shed, or destroy it, or whatever, and now it's finally happened, and I just felt, I actually really felt sad.
Why is that inappropriate? It's inappropriate to feel sad.
It's inappropriate.
Get on some Valium.
It's inappropriate because we struggle to make you care about watching the shows in the first place.
Well, hey, you know, it's 2015, don't you know? You're never meant to be sad. It's terrible to be sad at any point in your life. No, I thought it was funny. And I think it's perfect how they destroy Robbie and Lenny's place. They destroy the shed. So, as we all know what will happen next, the ferals are going to get you. And they take over the wrecking ball and crush Joe's place. And they call him out before. So, they're trying to murder him, basically.
They say, have a look out the window or something.
Yeah. And I think that's perfect because it's, you know, as the audience member, you want his place to get knocked down. Because he's just knocked down both of them. It's the childish reaction.
Did you catch the?
You don't feel bad for it.
Did you catch the tiny little moment before they called him? What happened? Basically, Joe's looking at the plan that he's wanting to do for Jurassic Park, yeah. And he says,
plans.
"Yeah, expansion plans." And he goes, "Jurassic Retirement Village for the real Jurassic," and then it trails off.
Yes, I did. Yes, I know. Sorry, that was the other pun that I really liked in this episode. To be honest, like, I don't think there's been one single, even the Mary Poppins episode, I don't think there's been one episode where I was, like, kind of, like, really watching it intently the entire time. Like, you know what I mean? There weren't, like, any, oh, this is a bit soft, this part, or whatever. It was, if you know, any scene that was a bit boring, and they moved on quickly, and it was, like, really interesting all the way through. I don't know if you guys felt that, but I definitely felt that in this episode.
Well, I think we'll maybe touch on that when we actually finish it, everything off.
And review it off, yes.
Okay. Well, true, true. So now Joe's place is destroyed. Lenny and Robbie's place is destroyed. The shed's destroyed. They tried to kill Joe unsuccessfully. He's, you know, screwed, but, you know, he's okay. And now we find out what happens with everyone.
I was shocked. I didn't think they'd do this.
I know, but it's awesome. I really like it. I really like how they ended this show. It's perfect for me. So, Robbie, what did you think would happen with Robbie?
She became a groupie, basically.
That's exactly what I thought. That's not what she said. She said she's moving in with the band.
Well, yeah, I just read between the lines.
And how would you describe what Lenny was wearing? Because I was like, what the F is Lenny wearing?
He's wearing...
And it kind of made sense when he said where he's going.
Well, I didn't... I'm like, what? Is that like an Eskimo outfit or something? It was really weird.
Yeah. Well,
I thought it was like some of the debris. It was like he had on him or something.
Jacket. I just didn't understand why he was wearing it. And then
you picked up that it was a thermal jacket.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell's Lenny wearing? And then straight after, there's like, oh, I'm off to Antarctica to do research or some shit.
What we all do, you know. When you're going on a plane, you always wear the clothes where you get ahead.
It is true.
That's what every single person does. Nowhere in the world. What the hell are they talking about? When I went to Hawaii, everyone was wearing like jeans and heaps of stuff. We got there and it was super hot, right? When we were coming back, everyone was wearing board shorts and stuff, and it was like cold in Sydney.
Yeah,
it's just the way it happens.
Well, yeah, when I left,
you never dress.
The motherland. It was, you know, the negative some shit in the middle of winter, snowing.
And were you wearing your cape? Were you wearing your cape when you were on the
plane? I was wearing my cape. and yeah, you rock up and it's, you know, middle of summer. You're like, what the hell? I'm way overdressed.
Yeah, so no one dresses up. But anyway,
please don't talk about heat right now, please. I've got sweat dripping down my friggin'...
See? No, we're talking about Antarctica.
That's what it's been like for me the whole time.
No, Antarctica.
I wish I was
like, I didn't separate myself from your troubles. We're in the same state, for Christ's sake. We both don't have air conditioning.
We're both as dumb for not installing aircon.
I don't know how you guys can live in Melbourne with no aircon. Like, Sydney, it never gets that hot. It's a bit humid as well, so it's a different kind of heat. Mm-hmm. But Melbourne, oh man, without aircon, jeez, that's tough.
I walk around naked.
We've established that. I think we've spoken about how you walk around naked 4 times.
Well, I don't get why people don't do it more often. There's nothing wrong with walking around naked. Okay, maybe going out to get the mail to the street past like another 2 units. You know.
Some people
might say I should draw the line at that.
You live by yourself, so it makes sense. When there's other people in the house, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it makes sense if I'm in your house and your mom's there.
Inception, please.
Good point.
Thank you.
I need to fix that in post. I like how we just talk about post all the time. Fixes everything. Anyway, so Lenny's going to Antarctica, and the final bit with Joe is that, and harkening back to the start of the episode, they've strapped him with rollerblades because he's passed out. Wake him up with what do they call those mega microphones?
Megaphones.
What do they call those mega microphone things? Megaphones.
Oh, God. So wake him up, and then he goes into the hole, just like Mixie did at the start of the episode.
And off to his career in music.
Well, because they all just leave, and they're like, see you, Joe.
And the bone falls over and hits him as well, which was a nice touch.
Can I just say, it's kind of like how Seinfeld ended. It's a bit like, you know, whatever, they're all assholes, it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? Like, they're just like, they didn't care about Joe at all at the end, and I guess he didn't care about them.
He destroyed both their houses.
Yeah, I know, but I reckon it's a kid show.
Goes around, comes
like
around,
insane,
including giant wrecking balls.
Yeah, I know, but what kind of kid show is like this where they all like act like this? It's, you know, this is meant to be even for like 12, 13 year olds.
It's a very unique
crazy
kid show.
I think we've established over the course of 30 episodes that this is not a kids show. It just so happened to be on ABC Kids time slots.
It's true, it's true. So then, the ferals. What happens to the ferals? So we see it in the post-credits. Thank God whoever was, you know, transferring this from VHS to YouTube actually, you know, kept this last little scene in. Because if they didn't, we would never know what
happened. Did Mike actually see this?
I don't know.
Yes, did you? I did. In fact, I even picked up stuff during the credits, thank you very much. Such as, for instance...
Well, you carry it. You carry
Banana Man.
The final review.
Banana Man.
Yes, I guess. So, can you explain the Banana Man thing?
On the ABC, Banana Man.
I love Banana
Man. Now, I had to look Banana Man up because I don't remember watching Banana Man when I was a kid. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I don't remember.
Oh, you didn't? I remember it very clearly.
You guys should then go and review Banana Man instead of Round the Twist.
Banana Man's
I feel like I should join you for Round the Twist because I did watch Round the Twist when I was a kid.
Round the Twist is a true Aussie classic.
It is. But I'm not going to commit to it. Apologies, listeners.
He has way too many things going on in his other podcast commitments.
You're booted out.
No, I told you. Look, if they have the internet in the mountains, I will happily come and do a few episodes with you guys.
Can I just say, I picked something up in the credits as well, if I may interject. This episode had... Thank you. This episode had two...
dramatic pause.
This episode had two continuity experts.
Oh, what?
No, it didn't.
It did.
I only saw one.
It
really?
Did. However, they awesome. What I noticed quite a few episodes ago is they no longer say continuity expert. They actually say just continuity.
Okay.
And
because
they screwed up so many times, they had to drop the expert title.
Well played.
Well, you are the continuity expert, if you remember, Mike.
That's true.
Yeah, we're so good at being an expert, we didn't even know what the hell a continuity expert really was until...
I love that. I love how we didn't have any idea what it was until Mel explained it to us. So, yes. Okay, so that's what you picked up, that there was two. Carry it away, Mike. What happens to the ferals?
They leave to the sewers.
Yep. To start their new adventure in feral TV.
That's right. Which I knew nothing about.
He wouldn't have known that.
I wouldn't have known that.
If we didn't bring it up.
Well, that was the dawning. That was a bit earlier in this. And I like one of the final lines was, come on, death breath. Death breath. That's freaking amazing. I've never heard that in my life. I'm going to start saying that. As an insult, of course.
Now this chunky
to
boy.
To girlfriend up to
you guys.
Sorry, your wife.
Future Luke.
He corrected it from your recent marriage.
I do like that. That's the bit that he needed to correct. Oh, your wife.
I've got the inappropriate part up.
So, Chunky Boy, did you guys look this guy up?
No.
That was a very weird no, wasn't it? No.
That sounded like a yes that he tried to turn into a no.
So this guy, his name was Raymond Walsh, and this was his only acting credit on IMDb.
Wow.
Final episode of the Ferals. I almost said Feral TV then. The Ferals, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Classic Aussie show.
We know IMDb can't be trusted, especially for very niche things, but it seems like that he didn't really do anything from this episode until 2015, where he directed assistant directed a whole lot of episodes of a show. I'm thinking, what has this guy done in the 20 years between the Ferals and this show that he did?
I was really, really wishing you were just about to say, you know, until 2015, where he directed Star Wars The Force Awakens.
His real name is J.J. Abrams. Go there.
Well, that's his pseudonym.
See, to me, if this show was made today, you know who they could have hired?
John Boyega?
No. Although it wouldn't fit the Chunky Boy title, they could have hired Murray Scarce from Benchmark Creative because he had the high-vis vest on.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. And he would have been beautiful looking if he, you know, shaved his head.
No, but that's the point, is that they'd hire him at a time when he hasn't shaved. And then he'd look ugly.
Oh, perfect. So he's got the bald look.
What did we say? He goes from a 4 to a 10, Mike, or 4 to a 9 or something.
4 to a Mike.
Why, thank you. I'm obviously a little bit above
that's
a 4 then.
Man, Jesus.
I'm 5 and above, yes.
All right, so was there anything we missed in the episode?
Not
it's
really.
The last chance, boys. This is the last episode that we're reviewing. So
I missed the tears I shed at the end of it.
Let's get to our ratings and general thoughts.
Ratings. All right. Well, is there anyone who wants to particularly start first, or I'll go first?
You can go first.
I'll be brave. This episode for me was the most well put together episode. It didn't have a subplot going for it or anything like that, but it just was funny all the way through. I laughed all the way through. And, I mean, you know, TV finales are quite hard. I think this one was very good for a TV finale. Wrapped up everything in a funny way. And, yeah, this is probably the first time I've actually rated an episode this. I think it's pretty much equivalent to the Mary Poppins episode in terms of ratings. I probably would rate that episode higher in retrospect, but I'd give this one a 10.
Nice.
I had a feeling you'd give this a 10.
If I may go next...
You may. See,
no, I'm going to interject. I'm going to interject.
If I may equate this episode to my ex. We had, you know, Funky Monkey plenty of times. However,
just keep the buzzer going.
Oh, the finger is hovering.
However, it wasn't necessarily the best the last time we did it before we broke up and we stopped seeing each other. I feel like that is the most memorable one. So, I'm going to give this episode a 10 as a result.
Oh. 10 as well. Pressure's on now, Swinny. Should have went first.
All right, well, before I give the rating, I just want to say that I don't know how they could have written a better episode than a finish to the series than this one. To me, they destroyed everything. They told us where everyone went except Joe, but then that worked out well because it's Joe's left on his own. And I wasn't expecting them to do that. I thought it would just be a normal episode.
I totally thought the same. I was very surprised with how the episode went.
Considering that apart from the apartment being destroyed, mini plot, underlying kind of storyline, almost like your Curb Enthusiasm style. There's no, obviously, carry-on storylines in any of the episodes. And so that's why I was so shocked that they actually told us what happened.
Yes.
And that they knew that the ferals would be going into the sewers.
And the
so
whole
they at least
thing
knew
about,
that about Feral
dinosaurs TV. Going extinct and the show going extinct as an added bit of...
I like it.
That's good. I don't know if that was intentional, but it was good.
I don't know if it was intentional either, but clever. I like it. So what did you rate it?
Look, I'm going to have to give this episode a 10.
Yeah! Oh, it's our first perfect episode.
It's
the Nadia Comaneci of Ferrell's episodes.
I tossed and turned between a 9 and a 10, but...
I thought you were going to give it a 9.
So would I. I'm like, my heart's just like...
I was so thinking... But then I tried to fault the episode. And I couldn't fault the episode from the... You know, when you compare it to every other episode and the enjoyment factor. I really couldn't fault it. It was had a lot of funny moments. It was well written. It wrapped up the series... This seems like we're just giving 10s kind of like they, you know, hand out honorary awards.
This is seriously
a 10.
It was really good, yeah.
So,
I think this is definitely the most well-written episode. It's not the funniest, but it's definitely the most well-written.
Lots of good puns.
Like, the jokes were really, like, funny, actually. Like, I don't know about you guys, but it felt like they spent 5 times the amount of time on this episode than they did with all the others. Yes.
It did. They had a lot more costumes than the average episode, props, obviously all the Jurassic Park stuff. They had Keith and Kylie in it, although, if I was to find a slight fault, maybe it'd be great to have them more featured, but I wouldn't take a point away for that. So, yeah, it was
nice.
Great.
Oh, look, you both know that I watch a lot of TV. good TV, not bad TV, but nonetheless a lot. I'd actually seriously put this up there as one of the best finales to a show that I've ever seen. Because it is hard to end a show
better
like
than Lost.
And
stupid show. Stupid ending.
Yeah, I gave up on that show. But, yeah, it's sort of like... I exactly what you thought, Swinny. I thought that this episode was just going to be a regular episode, as if nothing, you know, was happening, like the show was ending. And, you know, okay. And I sort of had high expectations for it, but I knew I was going to be disappointed, so I was pretty surprised. As this episode went, I was like, oh, this is actually awesome.
I also thought that it would be normal because they may have assumed it'd be a third episode, a third season of the normal episode.
Well, I think... No, but I thought that Mel told us that they knew that it was going to be the last one.
Yeah, I...
You listened to that episode recently, didn't you?
That one I actually haven't re-listened to yet, but the... Oh, okay. Yeah, no, he did say that, but I don't know how much information they knew to the point I didn't think they'd know to wrap up pretty much all the loose ends. To say where Robbie's going, where Lenny's going, where the Ferals end up.
Where the Ferals are going.
They literally went out
with
a bang.
They didn't say what happened to Keith and Kylie,
did they?
Yeah, that's true. That was an awesome episode. Mm.
So I'm actually... That actually disappointed me for a particular reason. The fact that we did find out what happened to Robbie and Joe, because I've prepared something that now you can treat it as almost like an alternate way for Robbie and Lenny to ride off into the sunset.
Okay.
So, for the... You know, we had the Rumble for Robbie, the showdown where Lenny won... Essentially won Robbie's heart. And that's we've had... I've written a song about Lenny in the past that was about his, you know, longing and love for Robbie. But he got the girl, you know, if you go by the Rumble for Robbie. So I thought I'd put something together from Joe's perspective. Unfortunately, knowing that not only are the apartments destroyed and Lenny and Robbie went separate ways, let's just pretend that didn't happen when we listened to this track.
Through the magic of TV and audio.
Yes. So if you can run the tape.
Mixie called when she got the word. She said, I suppose you've heard about Robbie. When I rushed to the window, I looked outside. I could hardly believe my eyes as Lenny's new Datsun rolled into Robbie's drive. Oh, I don't know why she's leaving or where she's gonna go. I guess she's got her reasons, but I just don't wanna know. Cause for 30 long episodes, I've been living next door to Robbie.
Robbie! Who the f*** is Robbie?
30 damn episodes waiting for a chance to tell her how I feel and maybe get into her pants. Now I gotta get used to not living next door to Robbie. I'm a scat man.
Kettley bubbly bubbly bop bop. Bubbly bop bop. Kettley bubbly bubbly bop bop. Bubbly bop bop. Kettley bubbly bubbly bop bop. Bubbly bop bop. Kettley bubbly bubbly bop bop. Bubbly bop bop.
That was genuinely awesome. Oh man, I'm legitimately going to turn that into my ringtone. Scuttly bottly bottle. Oh, well done, man. That was awesome. Oh god, I'll have to try to put that as a regular track.
Well,
on the feed, so people.
Yeah, I wrote that, and future Luke's going to have to do a little bit of work on it, but. I will say, I wrote that track before watching this episode, and I was a bit like, oh, god damn, they explained what happens.
But it's so good.
No, it's perfect. No, but I think that's in the true TV spirit, you know what I mean? That I think you know, the first season, there was no continuity. Like, there was no story arc. In the second season, we did have a story arc. Robbie and Lenny's apartment got crushed, and then they rebuilt it. So, I think it's fine. I think you can imagine the next episode, everything's built again. Mm. So, yeah. No, that was awesome, man. All right. Well, do we want to cover anything else? Or we'll leave it to our wrap-up episode next week.
I think we've got a lot to talk about next episode, and we might give our overall thoughts on the entire series. So, I think awesome. We shall... Maybe, yeah, save it for that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. Indeed. Well, so the next episode, next week, is our wrap-up episode, but we're going to wrap up right now.
Bye. Adios.
Oh, penis?
Penis!
Oh, damn, it doesn't... And thank you.
My quiz, which we forgot about. But I don't want to end on... Because...
Inappropriate. I've never
heard anything. Doesn't matter, it's a crap quiz anyway. It is a crap quiz.
All right, let's do the quiz now.
We'll do the quiz offline. We'll do it now, but we'll do it offline.
Wait.
No, let's do it.
No, are we seriously not finishing the episode after wrapping up?
No, let's continue. Right. Let's do the quiz quickly. All right. It's a five-minute quiz, isn't it?
Well, it should be about 5 minutes. Okay. Question one. Both of you guys can give an answer. There's no jumping in. You both have to give
Wait,
an answer.
Wait, is there anything at stake? Like, do...
Well, you mean that he's only jumping in, right?
Well, no, you both give an answer. You both give an answer. I'm going to keep a tally of how many people got an answer correct, and then I'll let it up at the end and see who got the most correct answers.
I'm really nervous because I've never had to answer any of these questions.
Yeah, it's true, actually. All right, so let's go. Okay. Let's roll. Cool.
So,
let's roll.
So do we jump in, do we?
No, you can just say when... I'll ask the question, and I'll go, John, what do you think? Luke, what do you think? And if it's correct, okay. I'll put a one next to it. And if it's not, you get a zero. And then I add it all up. And then the winner...
I think we're familiar with the quiz.
...can right. claim they Let's have a start. Bigger manhood than the other one.
Well, what's the topic of the quiz?
It's about dinosaurs.
Ooh.
Dinosaurs.
Dino.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Question one.
I was born ready.
How many...
Six! I can't do quite as good as you.
Correct.
That's 1 point for John, zero for Luke. How many penises did a triceratops have? Sorry, how many horns did a triceratops have?
So who,
you both answer this. You both answer this.
Are you going to say monkey or swing?
No, you both answer
I'm assuming...
No, you said...
No, I said...
You said the format
you,
was...
Okay. I'll say... Okay, John, you Swinney, first. How many do you think there are?
Who's John?
Swinney. Swinneyzorus Rex. John. Rex.
Okay, Triceratops. Yeah. I'm worried that it is the obvious one, so I'm going to say three.
Okay, and yourself?
Three.
Okay. The answer is three. 1 point each.
Thank God I didn't think of the opposite.
Trying to be too clever.
I'm like, oh, is there some like extra horn that I don't know about? Right.
I could argue there's an extra
question
horn.
Question two. True or false? The name dinosaur loosely or translates from its origins.
Say the word, man.
Dinosaur translates to terrible lizard. True or false?
False.
I think it's false.
And you're both wrong. That's zero.
Ooh.
Supposedly, it is true. But by the way, I don't know whether these are actually true or not. As in, I'm only going by what I found online. So,
what you found on BuzzFeed?
Yeah, BuzzFeed may be wrong. Who knows? BuzzFeed I don't listicle. Know. Okay, cool. Okay.
Oh, God.
Question number three. Which came first? The Jurassic...
Your mum did.
You just ruined my line. That was going to be my line. It was going to be the Jurassic, Cretaceous, or your mum.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay, well, I ruined that joke.
So what was the question again? Which came first?
And by the way, you know how I have problems with premature ejaculation? It was actually me, not your mum.
No, you... You strive to be premature, remember, Mike?
Yeah, you want to get it done and go.
Yeah, hit it and quit.
You want to go back to Xbox. Right.
As you said, you hit it and quit it.
I hit it and quit it.
Okay.
So what were the first
two? You only have two choices. Quickly, the Jurassic quickly. Or the Cretaceous yeah. period?
I'll say Jurassic.
Okay, and yourself?
I'll say The C one.
Okay, the answer is the Jurassic period.
Oh.
Woo! You said which came later, right?
Which came first.
Okay, yeah.
The Jurassic period came first. Question number four.
Score check.
You're on two. The other guy is on one.
Double points.
Yep.
Double points.
Double points.
Okay, true or false? The Tyrannosaurus Rex was the biggest dinosaur ever.
False.
False.
That is correct.
That's a shitty question.
All right, fine. Bonus. Actually, I shouldn't ask a bonus question because I don't know what the answer would be. It's the bonus question. Which
take a point off him for being condescending.
I like how you want to go, what is the biggest dinosaur? You don't even know.
Minus a point for being a dick.
Wait, minus a point for me.
No. For a monkey boy for being condescending about your question.
So score check is I'm three, Swinny's two.
And you're on zero and Swinny's on two.
So there's one question left. Is there a tiebreaker?
No, there's heaps more questions left.
I thought you said 5 minutes. Oh, sorry.
This is taking much longer than five minutes
already.
Okay. Next question. True or false?
It's not like it goes, there's heaps of questions left.
Okay, true or false? Iguanodon was one of three dinosaurs that inspired the appearance of Godzilla.
Sounds so fake. True. Why am I always going first?
True.
You both of you can say the same time, it's
false.
Fine. Okay, the answer is true.
Oh, damn. So we're equal
you
now.
You are equal now, yes. We're all equal.
Okay.
Even though some of us
feminism.
Have.
Yeah, no. Feminism.
Bigger man boobs than others.
Full stops.
Okay, next question.
Lactation.
True or false? Most dinosaurs became extinct during an event that occurred approximately 5 million years ago.
False.
That is correct.
65 million years ago.
That is correct, indeed. Someone's been
so bonus
Jurassic
point
Park.
For me. Woo! Jurassic Park, I read books,
points.
Man.
I don't work that way.
Just like how insulting that.
Next question.
Jurassic Park, and I read books.
So, score check is 4 each, yeah?
4 each, yes.
Alright.
And you know what book I read, Mike?
No, what?
Jurassic Park, by Michael Crichton.
Next question. What type of dinosaur features on the logo of the Toronto-based NBA basketball team?
Okay, I know the
answer.
Oh,
come
so
on, this
John
is harsh.
This wrong.
You, why you give a
no,
sport
I know the answer.
Question? Why you
I know the
a
answer.
Sport question?
Why it's a dinosaur question, answer. Not a sports question.
But you a know dinosaur, he's going to get dinosaur. A sports question. Well, why don't you so throw you a video dinosaur. Game question in and see how well he goes?
Yeah, I was still
Wait, wait, you want me to put a what question, right. Sorry?
A video game related okay. dinosaur yeah, sure. question.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be like an obvious easy one.
Makes it up on the spot.
Like, what's the name of
Go on.
Mario's dinosaur?
Yeah, exactly. What is
no,
it?
No. I've got another
right,
one.
Answer it, Swinny.
Answer it.
Quick, answer it.
Is it a raptor?
Oh,
yes.
Damn it,
nice.
It is. It's a raptor. Okay. Damn it.
1-1. Okay, next question. What is the name of a video game where you hunt dinosaurs?
Ark Survival Evolved.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Nah.
Survival
Too
evolved.
Wrong. You're both wrong. Zero.
I say the harder answer of a game that hasn't even come out yet.
I like how it's name the game. It's like a specific game that's only in Mike's head. All right. So what's
okay,
the next question?
Okay.
What's the score?
The score is like 5-5. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 okay. all, yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is the
so
final
I will say, Mike,
tiebreaker
you,
question.
Your quizzes are much more fair than my quizzes.
They're easier.
Yeah, because it's just something I ripped off. It's just something I ripped off like a website for like 12-year-olds.
BuzzFeed.
Yeah, exactly. That's in the perfect description of BuzzFeed.
Okay.
All right, come on, let's go.
Okay, next question. Did
this is not 5 minutes.
Did
well.
Sauropods
we wrapped up like 20 minutes ago?
I know.
did sauropods, not to be confused with sauropods, such as Brachiosaurus and
Diplodocus move on two or four legs?
I could just seriously spend an hour.
Did you say Brontosaurus?
No, Brachiosaurus.
Oh, Brachiosaurus, sorry. Yes.
I could spend like an hour just listening to you talk about dinosaurs. Say it dinosaur is, names.
You gotta give him credit. It's freaking so hot in these
it's
houses.
It's very hot.
Yes, it's hot. It's hot.
All the sweat is congealing around his
mouth. What's the other dinosaur?
Chest. Brachiosaurus and Diplodocus. And you can't Google them.
I think four legs.
I don't cheat.
I think four legs.
All right, yep. Four legs. You're both right.
Brachiosaurus was like the one with the big neck, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
I don't know why you're asking me. I'm just a quiz master.
So, we're 6-all. I really hope you got a tiebreaker.
This is the shittest quiz. This is the shittest quiz.
Okay.
Minus a point. I like this quiz.
Insubordination.
All right, true or false?
Final question.
It's not the final question. One last point.
He's trying to give you the hint.
Pentaceratops
like the hook.
Was the first dinosaur to be officially named.
Oh, see, this is a good question.
What was it, sorry?
Pentaceratops.
False.
I'll wait till John answers. Oh, I was going to say false as well.
Okay, well, that's correct. It is false.
It's too complicated. It would have been a really simple one, the first one.
A bonus question for no points. Does anyone know what the first dinosaur was and what year it was in?
Wait. What the first dinosaur
that was named?
The first one that evolved.
Is this
that
for points or not? Is this for points?
No.
All right, good.
Brontosaurus?
Nope.
Stegosaurus?
Nope. Well, look, we could be here for a while. It was the Megalosaurus in...
Oh, Megalosaurus.
In what year?
That it was discovered?
Named.
Named.
Oh, named. Well, 1873?
Close. Nope. You want to have a guess, Jono?
Is this Price is Right?
If it's close.
Well, close enough.
Price is Right? I'll go 1872.
Yeah, just say higher or lower.
I'll go 1872.
Well, he was closest. It technically gets a point. No, it was 1824.
Yes, closest.
There's no bonus points for that, sorry. Two more questions left. Okay. No, actually...
But you know we're even, sorry. Right?
Huh? Yeah, we are even.
Surely one of us has to go first,
and
the other one has to go
first. I'm deleting one of the questions.
So there's two questions left. We're on even points. I think I'll go first
one
question in this
left.
Question. Then
apologies, there is one question left.
Oh, okay. So this is the final question.
Correct. Da, da, da. And this one, you either...
Go on.
A person who studies fossils and prehistoric life, such as dinosaurs, is known as a what? Now, this is going to be a tricky one if you both answer it. So, how about you SMS it to me separately?
Hasn't every other question been a multiple choice?
I know, the hardest question's last.
Then again, I did pull the stunt with you guys last, like, two episodes ago.
Say it again.
A person who studies fossils and prehistoric life such as dinosaurs is known as a what?
Oh, man, I don't know the answer to this.
I'll know it if I hear it, so I just got to start working through...
So what if we don't give an answer? Like, we don't know.
It's a draw and you'll have to fight it out.
Here
we go. Here's my answer. Dinosaurologist.
No, it's not that.
Yes, it is.
You reckon?
Check it.
Dinosaurologist.
Just like Joe said.
Dinosaurologist. Did you mean dinosaurologist?
It's not like a paleontologist, right?
Hey, there is such a thing called a dinosaurologist. That's true.
It's not paleontologist.
It is true. I think he's right. No, I think he got it.
What kind of quiz is this where you don't know the friggin' answer?
No, I know it. I know what the answer is.
What are you talking about?
I know what the answer is and I'll explain it
in a second. It's not a paleontologist, right?
What did you say?
It's not a paleontologist,
it
is.
Now, here's the problem, however. Here's the problem, however. A
dinosaurologist, that's not a real thing.
Swinney just said, is actually a paleontologist who focuses on studying dinosaurs.
Shut the friggin' nail up. Wait, show me this. This is not real, man. Yeah, but Wikipedia.
No,
where Wikipedia?
It comes from Wikipedia dictionary, which is probably obviously
okay.
Not,
okay,
that's not real.
All right, so. I got to correct you, Mike. I said dinosaurologist.
Oh, okay. Then no. Then technically,
not dinosaurologist.
But it's not even real. It's not a real thing. Can I just set the record clear? There's no such thing. People listen to this. There's no such thing as a dinosaurologist, you idiot. Just because it comes up on Urban Dictionary doesn't mean it's real.
So the winner is...
So it is a paleontologist.
Monkey Boy. It is, yeah.
Congratulations.
Woo! Yes for knowledge. Yes for knowledge.
Paleontologist.
What do I win?
The admiration of all your listeners.
Beautiful, mm-hmm. Beautiful.
You win a jar of sweat. That was below yep. Mike doing that whole quiz because it's just
make
sweating
out
his face.
I win a 1997 Mazda 3.
Woo! Beep, beep. Hey, I'd love me a 1997 Mazda 3.
Whoa!
I think Henry wants us to wrap this up.
He's like, shut up, finish the podcast.
Okay, well.
All right, well, I think that officially now really wraps us up, post-wrap-up.
Is there even a point to saying goodbye? Because I don't think anyone's listening
anymore. Wait,
I've
got another song to play. I've got another song and a quiz. Let's do it.
Let's do it, baby.
Well, since we've come this far.
All right, well, that wraps us up for this week. Next week is our wrap-up show. So, for now, it's bye.
Goodbye.
So yeah,
I was just gonna
penis
your buy from last time. That's it.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.